Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 134, part 2. We are hard cases. Today is Sunday, February 21st, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, you can call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us online. And you can also leave a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion. You can do that at Pastor Paul's blog, where you can also subscribe to the podcast. At the blog, you're going to find scripture links within Pastor Paul's show notes for each podcast. So be sure to go there to check out the scripture links. Be sure to join us part one on Friday and part two on Sunday, the conclusion of Pastor Paul's messages. So for the month of February, the lineup is this: our trials and our divine deliverances, seeing and telling, we are hard cases, and the waters will be watered. So have a fantastic month of February. Happy Valentine's Day. God bless you.
And then in other cases, we're stopped by prejudices. Men do not hear the gospel because they choose not to hear the gospel. Men do not hear the word of God because they choose not to hear the word of God. I mean, after all, I heard a brother person say, I know a Christian, yes I do, who cheats on his taxes. Why should I go to church? How many are hearing this message? Okay, take the baby outside, honey. Otherwise, the attention will be on the baby. See? Take baby outside. Yeah, just take him outside. And then, will you do that? But how stupid men are in their prejudices against their own salvation. How many are hearing this? Are you hearing it? I mean, if they were prejudiced against the preaching of Jesus Christ, what makes you think that they're not going to be prejudiced against your preaching of Jesus Christ? Weren't they prejudiced against Jesus Christ? I would say they were pretty prejudiced against him, weren't you? I would say that his own people were pretty prejudiced against him. What makes you think, are you above the master? Is the servant above the master? No, I don't think so. They said, who is he? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I mean, come on, a carpenter, a nobody. I think he is a wine bibber. I think he is a whoremonger. And I think he is the devil. So don't be surprised when they say the very same thing about you. Unless that the Spirit quickens the word, all preaching will be in vain. And God is not going to anoint our doctrine, and He is not going to anoint our legalism. And I think if we continue on in that vein, you listening to this tape, you listening to the radio, if we continue on in that vein, those cotton balls will get so large that you look like you're carrying a mattress around with you. But another rotten cotton ball deafness is unbelief. I believe that the ear that's stopped by unbelief is a double rotten cotton plugged ear. And if a man wants to not believe, there is no amount of preaching that's going to make him believe. None. You cannot unstop his ears. Then again, self-sufficiency is another ear stopper. When a man has all he needs, he wants nothing from Jesus Christ. I saw that today. I have all I need. I have all I need. I am all I need. I am all I need. And Christians can fall into that too. I am all I need. I am all I need. Kiss, kiss. How quickly we can fall into that. I am all I need. I am all I need. When he thinks I can handle it on my own strength. Oh, sadness. Sometimes the ear gets stopped by the love of sin. I believe worse off are the judges of sin. They are also in danger. The sin they do so hate in others is what they really desire to do because, as you see, it's really their God. It has their undivided attention. Whatever gets your attention gets you. There's somebody that they get talking, man, they get talking on homosexuality, and they get up, and every time they get up, it's homosexual this and homosexual that, and they get to talking about it and carrying on, so they just keep, well, why should that have all your attention? Why should sin have all, how about the answer having some of the attention? How about Jesus Christ, the answer to everything? How about giving the glory to God instead of trying to make a point by how much you hate this and how much you hate that because it's not a God? So there, huh? What's that got to do with the preaching of the gospel? Nothing. Shouldn't you have pity on such brothers? Well, they are your earthly brothers. Aren't they? Jesus said to the Jews, the Jews were seeking to slay him, how can ye believe which receive honor one from another and seek not the honor that cometh from God? And I thought to myself, if men's hearts and their ears are filled with the thoughts and they're filled with the love of self, their ears are sealed against the word of God. Then I see another difficulty. If we make it through the ear, the man is influenced to listen. And he's been influenced, I should say, to listen. That his heart does not retain that which he heard. And he soon forgets it. Did you ever tell your kid something and he shakes his head? Do you understand? And the kid goes, he got big tears in his eyes. I understand. Well, what did mommy say? Go to your room and make your bed. And what else? And make sure you do a good job. And what else? And make sure that the pillow is under the spread and it's all even and the corners are tucked in. And what else? And the room is cleaned up and all the toys are put away. And what else? And you wash all the color grade brush off the wall. And what else? I mean, the kid really heard you. He really heard you. Your great big long 4-hour lecture. I used to give those. And you're so proud of yourself. Oh, I got through to the kid. Glory. What an anointing I had. And the kid walks away, goes into the room. What am I in my room for? He forgot. Did you ever go someplace and somebody told you something? You didn't hear him because you had, and you got there and said, what did I come here for? What am I doing? They were influenced. Their ears were open. They were really influenced, but they didn't retain it. When one ear, the world says, and went out the what? The other. And then we add to the kids, and we say, you know, if they opened up your head, all they'd find in there was sawdust. So, you know, real encouragements to the little ones. No, you know how to get that kid? I used to do it with my daughters. They would not clean their room. Would not clean their room. Dust balls as big as these great big thundering weeds that rolled in Texas. They were about 11 and 13 like that. Now I would just sing and I'd go in there and I'd pull out the one bed, pull out the other. Then I would just start sweeping these dust balls and whistling and singing. Pretty soon they were in a panic. Get out of here! Get out of here! We can clean that room! Dad, stop it! Mom, Dad, stop it! Dad, get out of here! Dad, come on, Dad! Remember that, Debbie? Huh? And Julie always was really great with the room. Everything was neat and tidy and everything until she moved in with Cheryl. And she got to be a slob just like Cheryl. How many know when your kids are 11 and 13, none of them clean their rooms? Encourage my daughters, will you, before they kill me? It's the truth, isn't it? How you get the job done is actually physically doing it and provoking people to do it. Oh, Pastor Paul, I can't lift that 100 pounds. This guy was like 6 foot tall. I mean, he looked like he just come out of the European health spa. You know what I mean? And his body was all but oiled down. He was standing there, and here's a little wimpy, bald-headed me there, you know. And I says, what? You cannot pick up that bag of potatoes? Of course, I got a double hernia by doing it, but no. I just reached down and up they came. Because it's right here in your head. He needed to be shown that he could do it, provoked. We need to provoke one another, and that's how you get the message across, because a word without the work won't work. And work without the word won't work. You got to put the word to work. Or it won't work. You can talk it all you want to. You can go to all the studies and you can lower your glasses and peek over at people and just tisk, tisk, and oh my. You can go through all that. But until you actually show people that it works. Let's like downstairs now. We got everything done. The only thing we have to do today is open up grocery bags. You want to come downstairs? I'll show you how to open up a couple of them. Before you know it, we'll have 3,500 or 4,000 open up. There's nothing to it. You just take your hands like this and you whip them and two bags come open. That's so much fun. But it's all done. You know how I did it? I went around to the table during dinner, and I said, Brother, now here's how you have to do it. Brother, could you give me a half hour after dinner? Or 15, 20 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever you can give will be greatly appreciated. Thank you. We'll be right over there. We're going to bag these onions over here. And so this guy's sitting over here. He was challenged. So then you challenge the person over here. And they're looking to see if this guy will say yes. Well, he said yes. Now what am I going to do? Brother, would you give me a half hour, 15, 20 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever you can give me would be greatly appreciated. You know what? Enough onions for 3,500 bags was bagged in less than 2 hours, 2.5 hours, wasn't it? And a mountain of carrots was done in about a half a day. Why? Because you went over there, opened the bag up. Now, this is the way you bag the carrots, bag the carrots, bag the carrots. It's simple. And you bag the carrots, and you bag the, and you show them. And you get a little rhythm, you know. And then you and they get into it. See, people have to get into the rhythm of things. There's a rhythm in everything. And sometimes people want you to break your rhythm. They want you to stop everything you're doing and get into their rhythm, and you can't. You're on a roll. Huh? Well, one guy I couldn't convince. No, I can't stay. I says, 5 minutes? Will you bag some carrots until your lunch comes? No, I can't. He almost got fearful. I thought, God, this guy's going to have a heart attack. I said, it's okay, brother. Settle down. You got to know when to knock it off too, okay? For the weaker in the faith. How many are hearing this message today? But anyway, these are the things and these are the difficulties that I'm seeing. That people forget the word. Unless that the word is worked out and they can actually see the word working. And you are the word. You are the walking, talking epistles known and read of all men. You are the incarnate. You are Jesus Christ. Inside of your body is Jesus. It's no longer you that lives, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. The walking, talking word works. God using your body. Then the text goes on and says of the Lord, He openeth the ears of man and sealeth their instructions. Now you can go to all the confirmation classes that you want to go to. You can go to all the dedications. You can stand up in front of the church and say, well, I joined this church and I did this and I've been baptized and blah, blah, blah. But until God seals the instructions in a man, it doesn't mean a single solitary thing. I think there's one more difficulty here, and it is the purpose of so many men to have a secret, let's say, purpose. And that's where God comes in. And from this purpose, men have to be, the Bible says, withdrawn. Don't we all have secret purposes? Don't we? Even in your marriage, don't you have a secret purpose? Oh, that program, it used to tickle me. They'd line all these people up and they'd say, do you have a secret? Wasn't that the name of the program? Or I have a secret? I've got a secret. I thought, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And they'd line up three people. Secret purposes, and God has to withdraw you from those secret purposes. And what is the purpose of man after all? Seeking their own happiness. Isn't that bottom line? Isn't it? I'm not happy here. I find that I'm not happy. Aren't we all, after all, don't we have the purpose, our own purpose, and doesn't it have to be taken away from us? And isn't that purpose seeking our own happiness? Happiness. Where are you? Huh? Can you make me happy? How about you? Can you make me happy? You look like a happy person. I bet you could make me happy. I wonder. And we're always looking. That's our secret purpose, is trying to find happiness. And we're so sad because we can't find it. God, where is it? Somewhere over the rainbow, huh? I know I'm hitting nerves here because there's a lot of people that have been running around looking for their happiness. Where are you going? All these joggers are running around in their little sweatsuits. And they're just jogging along, you know, and they're out there, and they're Rockies, you know, they're all little Rockies running around, da-da-da, 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 da-da-da-da, da-da-da, da-da-da. And they think they'll find their happiness like Rocky. Running up the courthouse steps, they'll shoot you. The truth, isn't it? Is it the truth or isn't it? I come in, I was wounded. I was looking for a drink. I am giving you water. I'm forcing it down. Drink! And you don't want to drink. People do not want to drink. I come for a fresh drink of water from the wells. From the well. I'm giving you a fresh drink of water. I'm throwing it in your face. Say amen, somebody. That's what we need all the time, is a very rude awakening. You're not Rockies, and if you keep it up, you'll die. Say amen, somebody. You can't run around looking for your own happiness, and your own purpose is seeking your own happiness, and they always think they'll find it, and they keep jogging all over. Where is that? Where is happiness? Is it Bird Island? Where is it? Huh? Isn't that it after all? When it comes right down, bottom line, aren't you all? And aren't we all looking for our own happiness? And doesn't that have to be withdrawn from us by God? Well, they say that serving God is happiness. And I've been serving God and I'm so miserable. I'm so frustrated. I'm ready to throw up my hands and say, take me, God. Take me, take me, take me. He doesn't want you. He's not done with you yet. Huh? And you can run around all you want looking for your happiness. It lies right back in your own backyard, right down inside of you. Yeah. It's not with a person. It's not on a job. You knew I was going to do that, did you? Your happiness lies way down deep inside, back in your own heart, huh? Right inside. That's where it's at. And you're running all over looking for your happiness, trying to find a way. And you'll never find it. World, if you're listening to me, you can never find happiness. No, you can't. It's a very elusive thing. And their own way has led them to a whole lot of sorrow. Isn't it sad? I was thinking, I was in the airport. Jen and I went down to Florida and we took the cattle run. That's a plane that stops in Kansas City for 45 minutes with nothing open. And then again, it stops in Houston for 2.5 hours with nothing open. And it takes you 8 hours to make it down to Florida. When you get down there, you're so tired that you sleep the whole time you're down there, see? So it's $138 for the flight down and back again. But the flight coming back is the same thing, only you stopped in Houston first and then Kansas City. And it's the same old thing. Unless that you take your happiness with you. And I got off of the airplane and I went around, and it was in the Houston airport. And, you know, at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, all they got is these wilted salads. They had nothing to make you happy. You go up and they got a hamburger that was made last Tuesday, you know, and it's laying there all limp and it's given up totally. The bun is curling up on the edge and the lettuce is brown. And then there's a great big salad for $10.95, you know, in a cereal bowl. And you look at this thing and it's all wilted and laying there. Won't you eat me? You know, just terrible looking thing. And you know, nothing to be happy about. And everybody's sitting there. Coffee is 85 cents a cup. 8 ounces. Looks like a creamer. And you know, what's there to be happy about? And the people are wandering around in the airport. They're going someplace to be happy, like Jan and I went down there to Florida. And, they were shuffling along, and they had their suitcase, and the guy with his thing over the back. And then there's somebody in there just yapping away. Yap, 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 yap. There's a whole bunch of people looking over at the yapper. Huh? And I thought, you know what? I am so glad I got Jesus Christ. I would have not one thing. These people couldn't cheer me up at all. The salad didn't do it. That hamburger couldn't do it. That 85 cents for a creamer full of coffee couldn't do it. And certainly these faces can't do it. So what have I got? I have something to give away. I have a secret that I'm going to share with you. The reason that you look like that salad is because you don't have the Lord. No matter how many times you go to Florida on this cattle run, and did you see the people in that airplane? Oh. They were going to have fun. Shut up, we're going to have fun in the sun. And I looked at all this and I thought, hey, your happiness is Jesus Christ. Your happiness is in suffering the sufferings of Jesus Christ. Your happiness is not belly aching and complaining and hiding and having your own little thing going, seeking out your own happiness, being too busy, caught up in worldly things like, ooh, this and that and whatever, and all the excuses that we come up. Your happiness is in giving that old boring life away to Jesus and being used for the kingdom of God, and that's where it's at. Don't you ever get tired? No. My body does, but my spirit never gets tired. Doesn't sleep, neither does it slumber, because it's from God. God doesn't sleep, and God doesn't slumber. God is the Spirit. The very same Spirit I'm talking about is in me. In fact, sometimes I don't have time to get tired. I'm too busy. But isn't it sad there are so many Happiness Is books that are written? Happiness Is. I was in the Houston airport, then there's a book there. Happiness Is. 10 Steps to Happiness. I found joy in my dog, or whatever. And they got all these books on how to be happy. You know why? It's a real good place to sell them, because everybody that was in that airport was sad as sad could be. Kind of like when you start to go bald, you start looking at for all these hair tonics and stuff. Man, I tried everything. And it's the same way when you lose your joy. You go all over. My joy was my hair. But anyway, going on with the story. When you lose your joy, you go all over looking for it. Can you make me joyful? Can you make me joyful? I know it'll make me happy. And here's some people over here playing the part of mom and dad. And so you're just married and you don't have a baby yet. So, well, look how happy they are. They're a lot of times just playing a part. They've learned it from Father Knows Best on TV. You know, it's nothing. It's phony. And they're playing out this part. You say, wow, maybe we should have a little one. Huh? So the wife gets pregnant. Sometimes the gals are real good when they're pregnant. Sometimes they're meaner than mean. Okay? because they find out that is not their happiness. And they go all over with this secret purpose, and the secret purpose is how to stay happy. For God's sake, will somebody show me how to be happy? So they follow two courses here. They slow down in their sin, or they do it moderately, or they still have and still must have themselves, and they won't bow down to God, never. But one more thing, which is perhaps the very worst, greatest barrier of all, and it is not merely that they're deafness of ear, but they have an unretentiveness of spirit. And their resoluteness of purpose. In other words, they won't retain what they have learned. And they won't resolve these old things and have them done. And you know why? It's because of pride. I believe that pride, that there is no diamond that can cut pride. I believe it's only the master jeweler that can find that flaw in a person, that can go ahead and cut it just right. Only God can cut it. And it said, God, hide pride from man. You can't hide pride. You ever tried to hide pride? I feel it on myself sometimes. Somebody says something and you try to hide it. Your mouth gets all screwed up and... Huh? Only God can hide pride from man. Man is so proud that he says, I have not sinned. Show me where. And you do, and he says, well, let me give you a couple excuses. Or if he has sinned, he couldn't help it. Even if he has done wrong, he is no worse than his neighbors. I mean, look at John Doe. Look at all the bad checks he writes. Besides, there's so many beautiful traits that I have. It'll cover up all them little sins. And if he is told to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I would rather believe in myself. He will not come as a publican. He would be washed, but he doesn't think he's foul enough. Dirty. Soiled. Me. Where? Hey, look me over. Find a spot. I dare you. And he says, my sins aren't that great anyway. And there's a lot of Christians that think their little sins aren't that great anyway. I mean, hey. White. And maybe a little bit gray, but not dirty. A little off-white, maybe. But I don't need any bleach. Can't you see that? And self-righteous self can only be overcome by God. See, a miracle of God is when he overcomes sinful self, but a bigger miracle is when he overcomes the righteous self. And a righteous self cannot be saved. God can save the sinner that admits it, but a righteous man cannot be saved. It takes God to save the self-righteous man until he is brought down from that fatal pride, that high place, that crowded self-righteous throne position with a line longer than the Minneapolis and St. Paul unemployment lines. He can't be saved. Say amen, somebody. Cannot be saved. One lady said, you know what? I listened to your radio program. According to your teaching, a whore will make it to heaven before I do. I don't go along with it. You mean I'm to enter in at the same door they are? I says, no, you wouldn't even fit through that door, see, because you're too big. She says, what do you mean too big? I said, I'm talking about your flesh. You're too big in yourself. You can't be made humble and you can't make it through the door because I says you think that someone else that is a whore or something like that, you're above them. Oh, she says, come on now, Pastor. I mean, I have always been a good person, a good daughter, and a good mom, and a good wife, and a good grandma. And you mean I have to go the same door that these women have to go through? I won't do it. And so they shut themselves out with a sin which is as great anyway as the sins which they condemn. Then they set themselves up in rags of preference, their own rags. Instead of the robes of Christ, they have the self-righteous rags. They have the holier-than-thou-art rags. And they start to prefer their own righteousness to the precious blood of the only begotten Son. Save us, God, from that sin, that self-righteousness. And you know what? It needs God to do it. It says here, He can hide pride from man. Well, sometimes He does it in a dream. In the vision of the night, it says, when the deep sleep fall upon men slumbering upon the bed. God can give you a relief in your dreams. Did you ever have a relief and a release in your dreams? You can tell, Jen, when I wake up laughing. You've heard me, just wake up and I'm uncontrollable laughter. That's my release. God is giving me a release. Now, on the other hand, sometimes when we think and we're self-righteous, God opens up Pandora's box, your subconscious, if you will, and out crawl all these little vile things. Those little things that you've been hiding from God. Oh. Perversion, sexual perversion. You wake up in the morning and you feel real guilty. Oh, God. Is this the way I am? I'm a monster. Oh, no, it's just God revealing you to you. Don't get hung up on it. People have dreams all the time. Call it a nightmare if you want to. But you know what? You know the blood of Jesus Christ covers things, but a lot of times we don't admit we have things. It's kind of like laying on the psychiatrist's couch, only he comes to you when you're slumbering and when you're sleeping, and those things surface, and then you say, praise God for Jesus Christ, because it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't make it. These things were hidden way down deep inside. Where did I get? I must have inherited them from my mom and my dad. Icky-poo, 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 poo-poo, huh? No? It's the fallen nature of man. Praise the Lord. Huh? Jesus Christ is the answer, isn't He? How many know right now? And I'm closing. Whew. Oh, a rude awakening! You ever wake up with your hair standing on end? Huh? You're laying there sleeping and all of a sudden... cold sweat coming down your face. You know that man that's chasing you and you can't get away and you're running and your legs won't go on, they're jelly and you're running? Huh? You know who's chasing you? Self. He doesn't want to let you go. Self. Wait for me. And you can't get away, and you're running as fast as you can. And you're just barely moving out. You're not rocking now. You're just barely moving out. Oh, and you look back, and the guy's grinning at you, trying to catch you. Huh? It's you. And then He gets our attention another way, doesn't He? By afflictions. And all people hate to hear that. By afflictions. How does He do it? He hides the pride of man with affliction. Here you are, you're getting all proud about what you're doing. Oh, this is so great. How am I going to act humble on this one? Wow, I can't keep from smiling. Great show, guy, huh? Great show, fella. Great. You're wonderful. An affliction comes, and it is a spirit of affliction. Here he is. He's standing over here. God sends him. Spirit of affliction. Down there, there's a man. I got to hide him from pride. And the spirit of pride is about over in here. Pride is much enough. And pride speaks to you. It's a spirit. Boy, have you done a work. Okay. An affliction comes, a spirit, and comes in and stands in between pride and you. God hides Mr. Pride with an affliction. What's wrong? It hurts. You ain't very proud now, are you? I got the jugonic. I think I got the 3-day flu, the European variety, the very worst. Huh? Because if affliction wouldn't have come, you would have blown the thing. God has to hide pride from us. He's the only one that can do it. And so affliction comes, and circumstances come, and this happens, and that happens, and all because God is dealing with our pride. Praise God for blessed afflictions. Those are the way that God hides the spirit of pride. And it says in the Bible, first comes the pride and then comes the fall. Pride cometh before the fall. So when pride comes your way and you receive that spirit, you fall. So God sends a spirit of affliction and circumstances and bereavements and deaths and whatever it takes for you to turn around. Maybe a fire, maybe a close call. Maybe a failing airplane will change your mind. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's a little rockiness right here in this airplane. Fasten your seat belts. We're at 40,000 feet. 34. Would you believe 20? Would you believe we're going to crash? Now you change your mind in a hurry. Oh, my God, help! And so these things come. And all of a sudden, huh? Did you ever have a close call? Why do they call it a close call? God called it close. That's what a close call is. You ever been driving your car and all of a sudden you wake up, you turn the wheel? And you say, God, that was a close call. It was God saying, wake up! And he was saying, wake up, so that you heard it with a spiritual ear. And you start thinking, man, that's how close it is to going. Might be a singular word from this pulpit that'll turn you on. Might be one word that'll turn you around. Are you hearing this message today? And lastly, when God does get at men, he accomplishes great purpose. His first purpose is to withdraw man from his own purpose. And let each one of you here today recognize that you each and every one of us have our own purpose, and we've got to be withdrawn from it. And God will use anything that he has to get you away from that thing. God wants to deliver us from the main root of our problem. And it all goes back to what? Pride. What a strange expression, hide pride from man. Did you ever hide a razor blade from your kid? Or a knife, a great big... Would you leave a great big sharp knife when baby is going from chair to coffee table? And there's a great big dagger there? Would you? Would you hide it? Well, it's for the same reason that God hides pride from us. Because we would ruin ourselves and we would kill ourselves. And the root lies right there. It's all because of pride. You did not get your own way. And so everybody's going to suffer for 3 or 4 weeks because you didn't have your own way. How many know that's the truth? I'll make you suffer, buddy boy. Or I'll make you suffer, wifey poo. Or I'll make you suffer, preacher. I'll show you. Are you listening, preachers? I'll pick up and I'll go to another church. Huh? Say amen. I'll show you. Pride! How about me? What does that speak of? How about me? Pride. Don't you ever think about me? I'm stuck here all day. I'm a young housewife. How about me? Pride. Boy, did you ever tell him off? Boy, did you ever show her? Pride and ability and successes and old age. People say, how old are you? I'm 104. Did you know that your very breath is dependent upon the Lord? We live and breathe on borrowed time. You have nothing to be proud about. God can cut off your breath anytime. We live and breathe and have our being in Him. You wouldn't even be if it wasn't for God. So what is there to be proud about? Nothing. Not one single solitary thing. Nothing. But I'll tell you one thing. You're all being made into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ through trial, tribulation, by being delivered from yourself, by coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, by walking and doing the word that God has given, getting out of yourself, not worrying about man, and getting out of all these things, and just saying, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there goes me. The bum and the hoodlum and the prostitute and the homosexual and the whatever. There I am. If it wasn't for the grace of God. That's the message. It's all grace and it's all love and it's all mercy. And it's all the blood of Jesus Christ that's done the completed, finished work. And all you have to do is walk in it and receive it and say, thank you, Jesus. Isn't that great? Just think of it right now, how precious that a soul is. One soul. One soul. Jesus would come to save one soul. You don't realize what we're talking about here. We're talking about Jesus says, I knew you before the beginning of the worlds were even founded. Isn't that heavy? So if it-